Greetings, chums. Tis Henry here, Henry Turtle, and I'm a bit excited because it's the Motown Ready Steady Go special, the sound of Motown. And we're going to pretend we're all teenagers again. We're rushing home from work, school or college to watch it on Ready Steady Go. Bit different this week because it was pre-recorded 2 weeks before it went out. I'm going to tell you how it was recorded, not how it was edited and put out. First up, on the recording date, which was the 18th of March 1965, between the Tamla Motown launch tour, which I'll tell you all about later on, was a production secretary in the Motown offices called Martha Reeves. And she'd bided her time, pestered Holland, Dozier and Holland, until they put her together with two of her chums and they came up with this. Martha Reeves and the newly formed Vandellas there, and you can feel all her frustration of waiting to get her big shot, and when she got it, she certainly took it. Now, how did all this come to be? Well, Tamla Motown was about to be launched, so Berry Gordy hired a coach, and Arthur Howes promoted a 30-date tour of cinemas, where they played two shows a night across 30 dates with 2 days off. Dick Godin and Dusty and Vicky, I remember them having a conversation in the green room back at Ready Steady Go when Godin said it's too early. Now, Dick Godin owned Blues and Soul, which was a shop that Dusty and Vicky Wickham frequented on Saturdays, getting all the new Soul and Motown stuff ahead of everybody else, sometimes up to 2 years ahead. And he was the president of the Motown Appreciation Society. But Gordy went ahead with this, and by the time they turned up to pre-record the sound of Motown. They were all in a pretty exhausted state and in various stages of illness. There was an awful lot of bickering going on, and the Supremes weren't talking to each other and demanded their own dressing room. Moving on, after Martha Reeves and the Vandellas had performed Heat Wave, they had one lead microphone that Martha used and one next to it that the two girls in the Vandellas used, and that was the standard setup for every artist. And as Martha performed, to her right, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles were being set up in the darkness, and when she'd finished her number, the lights went on Smokey, who had written The Way You Do the Things You Do for the Temptations, but never recorded it. And Smokey Robinson and the Miracles did a great version of it live. There isn't anything that I can lay my hands on relating to that, so let's listen to the Temptations version of the song that Smokey wrote and performed live on the Sound of Motown that night. Fabulous Temptations there in their powder blue suits with white edgings, fabulous wigs. They were rather camp, that's when I think back on it now. But there they were singing Smokey's composition, The Way You Do the Things You Do, which Smokey actually performed himself on the Sound of Motown special with the Miracles. Now let me just try and tell you how thrown together things were. This was from Mr. Barry Alcock, who lives somewhere up in Lancashire or Yorkshire, and he wrote into the Musical Express to say that he'd seen a bus coming along the old A6 up north over Shap, that's S-H-A-P, with Barry Gordy sitting next to the driver, and in the back of the bus were Diana Ross and the Supremes, the Temptations, Stevie Wonder, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, Dallas, Jack Ashford, and the Earl Van Dyke Sextet, all sitting there, and the weather was foul, and it must have been horrendous doing two shows a night for 30 days, and then coming in the middle of that lot to do this. But things brightened up, the lights went down on Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, and on came the wonderful Marvin Gaye singing this. Marvin Gaye, who was no stranger to Ready Steady Go. He'd been there earlier in the year and had been a great success. Florence Ballard told me in the hospitality room that he could do no wrong with Berry Gordy because he was married to one of his sisters or something like that. She was very uptight, Florence Ballard. I remember she introduced herself to the group I was with by saying that she was who she was and that she was the leader of the Supremes. And as it turned out, the bass player with the Earl Van Dyke band was within earshot and went, huh. And she scowled at him and walked off with some liquid refreshment. I was hoping it was James Jameson who was the bass player, because that was my hero in all the Motown. And he was the notorious bass player in the famous Snake Pit. The Snake Pit was the Motown recording studio, which was run and sort of ruled over by a guy called Mickey Stevenson, who was part of the Motown woodwork along with Smokey Robinson and Holland Dozier and Holland. He was a sharp, edgy bloke. That's the impression I got of him. And the Motown publicist, Al Abrahams, described the hotel music to a journalist as bubblegum soul or little symphonies for the kids. Diana Ross said to the interviewer that Berry Gordy was a genius, open to abundant possibilities, and that they'd all been instructed, and the road crew, to enforce cooperation at all times, and Mr. Stevenson said that the Supremes had been told that Motown had to be protected and its family image also. Well. Meanwhile, after the Can I Get a Witness number, on the other side of the floor, the Temps had been setting up and they came out with the most fabulous version of My Girl. Have a listen. Wasn't that just absolutely superb? That was recorded in the Snake Pit, or the Motown recording studio, overseen by Mickey Stevenson, who was about to get married to Kim Weston. There'd been a big hoo-ha with Mary Wells when she was at Ready, Steady, Go earlier in the year, because she said that after her big hit My Guy, that Gordy had spent all the profits from that on promoting the Supremes, and she was so unhappy that she left Motown, and her place was taken over in the duet situation with Marvin Gaye, and that was arranged by Mickey Stevenson. He was said to feather her nest. Well, I don't know. This is what Al Abraham told me. But what I was interested in finding out from him was about the Funk Brothers, because their reputation had preceded them. And amongst their ranks was Joe Hunter, keyboard virtuoso Van Dyke. And of most interest to me was James Jameson, who could build on his bass line so intricately it was hard to duplicate. The main studio drummer was William Benjamin, and Gordy claimed his steadiness was an art. He had a pulse, a steadiness that kept the tempo better than a metronome. The Funk Brothers resented authority, and the Motown contract of the time, all they were paid was $3.25 for a session and 1 cent for every record sold. Anyway, the Funk Brothers named Stevenson El Duce, after the Italian fascist Benito Mussolini. Stevenson had the personality of a switchblade, edgy, thin and razor sharp, and got a royalty from all the Motown's hits that we know and love, that were all recorded in that snake pit. Next up, we had Smokey Robinson back again, and he sung the delicious Ooh Baby Baby. Having gone through a costume change, the band wigs and makeup and shoes, absolutely perfectly presented in front of one microphone for Smokey and one for the Miracles. Have a listen to this. He collapsed onto his knees as he sung this. It was poetry to watch. Just sheer beauty, wasn't it? And you know when you're with someone and you don't like to ask them who they are, but you think you know who they are? Well, that's what happened with that bass player. I'm sure it was James Jameson, and I heard him say to somebody that the first bass he ever had was an upright one, which was taller than himself, and then he got one of the first electric precisions, and now he used a Fender Precision all the time on all the hits that he called Black Beauty. He said he even slept with it. Dusty and Vicky Wickham had put this situation together in glorification of Smokey Robinson, and there was a bit of a contretemps between them and Berry Gordy, who wanted it all to be about Diana Ross and the Supremes. Well, I don't know what the outcome was, but on the actual filming, it was all about Smokey. And when I saw the finished product, it was all about Diana Ross, the way it had been edited by Rolo Gamble, who was the director in this case, and Elkin Allen was executive director. But I've just got to read you a quick letter that I came across. It's from Bill Bartle, who lives in Chester. And he says he saw the Motown show at the ABC in Chester, where there were so few people there that the compere came out and asked those in the cheap seats at the back, that's me and my mate, he says, to move to the front and clap your hands. The show was great and every artist gave their all. Fancy Martha Reeves kicking off with Nowhere to Run. Stevie Wonder did a duet with his manager. The Miracles were superb, singing Ooh Baby Baby. And he just said the show was fantastic and it was such a shame that nobody was there. And Martin Brandfather was at the show with mates whom I also knew, and they gave me a lift home, as my mate and I had no money to pay for the bus or train fare. That was from Bill Bartle of Chester. Moving on, if you'd like to know what it all looked like, there was a huge stage at one end. If you can imagine a square with a huge frieze picture of Detroit, sitting in front of that on the dance floor itself, because nobody went up on the stage except for the dancers. There were three girls and three boys, and a girl called Greta, I seem to remember, I got on rather extra well with. And they danced along the stages amongst the audience and just everywhere, and amongst the artists as they were singing. They were so energetic. I don't know where they got their energy from, but they were unusual, and they really were interesting. And I took the trouble to find out afterwards that the guy's name was Malcolm Clare, who put all that sort of dancing together, and he came on to at the end when they did Mickey's Monkey and joined them. But it was just so exciting. But so at the back was the stage, and in front of that was Earl Van Dyke and his sextet. And sitting up on a rostrum right in the middle of the floor was Stevie Wonder. He was sitting there, and there was sort of a very staggered steps to get up onto the rostrum, and it had Supremes across the front. But sitting on it with a microphone and a harmonica was Stevie Wonder, and this was just sensational. He sung Kiss Me Baby.
Oh, now kiss me, baby.
That was followed by the Supremes, who sung their first song of the day. As I said, their name was emblazoned across the restroom that Stevie was sitting up there performing Kiss Me Baby on. And they opened up with Baby Love, which had been in the charts for about 11 weeks leading up to Christmas. And then Georgie Fame came in at number one in January. And that was Berry Gordy's pitch for doing this 30-city tour, that he had two former number ones on the show, and it would sell tickets. But unfortunately, they played to empty houses everywhere. But that's why they were so routine and perfect and professional, was that they'd had hundreds of nights, two shows a night, rehearsing. Anyway, Diana Ross simpered up to the microphone, and it was all as if their problems didn't exist. They smiled sweetly at each other, held hands as they went there. The lights came on and she came out with the immortal. Diana Ross in her red sequined top, looking a bit like a snake as she leant forward with her shoulders up and her elbows back, going across the audience from side to side, singing Baby Love with the Supremes. But when the song had finished, they all went off in different directions to their different dressing rooms. Meanwhile, Dusty was getting very nervous. She gave me a lovely smile across the hospitality, held two hands up to her ears and shook them to indicate how nervous she was. Well, she did two songs with Martha and the Vandellas. At that point, she was standing holding hands with Martha. We were probably consoling each other. And she started off with a rip-roaring version of I Can't See You No More. And she used the whole stage area. She was the only artist who did, along with the dancers that have been provided for us at our delight tonight by Malcolm Clare. And she then went up on Stevie Wonder's rostrum. She used the whole studio, and then she broke off to do two duets with Martha and the Vandellas. But I'm just itching to play you the original Martha and the Vandellas version of Dancing in the Street. So we'll start off with I Can't Hear You No More, which she was ably supported by Martha and the Vandellas. And then we'll go into the marvellous original record of Dancing in the Street.
Yeah.
Ah, first of all, Dusty there, and I Can't Hear You No More, written by Jerry Goffin and Carole King, and off her album Everything's Coming Up Dusty. But in that case, it was live with Martha and the Vandellas ably backing her. And I just had to play the original Dancing in the Street on Motown Records, of course, by Martha and the Vandellas, because it's so super, as Kathy McGowan would say. Kathy was sitting near us, because as I said, if you looked at the stage, on the right-hand side, there were the dressing room entrances, and then down a bit further was where all the audience sat or danced around. And the dancers danced amongst them as well. They were up on the stage, in amongst the acts. But sitting at the end of the row was a rather sad Kathy McGowan. She wasn't in any problem that Dusty was narrating the show this time. It was her sort of project, and I just thought she looked a little fed up. But we all loved Kathy McGowan, didn't we? Marvin Gaye, we loved him too, and he sung How Sweet It Is. That is a fabulous Marvin Gaye. He was a regular caller in on the Ready Steady Go studios there in Kingsway, but this time he was with his own gang, and what a performance. He just had it. He was so cool, wasn't he? And all those fabulous duets he did, as I mentioned earlier. And Tammy Terrell's real name was Thomasina Montgomery, I learnt. And somebody told me that Berry Gordy was very into this boxer, 6'6", heavyweight champion Ernie Terrell, so they shortened Thomasina to Tammy and took Terrell's surname, and she became Tammy Terrell. And of course she had all those hits with Marvin Gaye. Talking of hits, the Supremes were back and they sung Stop in the Name of Love with that fabulous hand signal in their light yellow dresses, if I remember rightly this time. And everything looked sweet in their world. Diana Ross weaving her magic. God, there's so many memories in these Motown records. I mean, just listen to this one. Nowhere to Run. Martha and the Vandellas again. Superb. As I said, all the artists on this particular special did three songs. Now, obviously, I can't fit them all in, but an interesting thing, if you get the chance on YouTube or whatever to see something, is when Dusty's doing Wishing and Hoping, the Vandellas were late with their costume change for some reason. So Dusty starts laughing and they're looking round, and then all of a sudden they're on camera with their costume change, and that's what they're laughing about, is that the Vandellas were late arriving at their microphones. Another little bit I picked up, I actually said hello to Smokey Robinson, which was quite something in hospitality, and I heard him talking, saying that he'd gone down into the Snake Pit, which we've now established is the Motown recording studio, and I don't know if it was Berry Gordy or Holland Dozier or Holland was singing this song, and it went lum-de-lum-de-la, and he loved that, and he said, "What are you doing with that?" And he turned round and he said, "I don't know, but I heard there's a great track I heard last night by Major Lance, which is just coming on the charts, about the dance called the Monkey. So I'm going to name it after that." And he said, "Well, what happened was they took that lumdy lumdy la ha, and everybody was into the community spirit at Motown, and they recorded it with hand claps, and he had Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross and the Supremes, Martha and the Vandellas, some of the Temptations, and Marvin Gaye all singing along with him. And that's how they ended up this RSG Special Edition Sound of Motown show. They all joined in, covered the floor, all singing Smokey's hit, Mickey's Monkey.
All right, now here we go. A one, a two, a one, two, three.
Oh, that was a great sight to see. All the Motown artists out on the dance floor singing and helping Smokey with Mickey's Monkey. Singing along, clapping, magnificent. And another little touch I thought was rather good. Elkin Allen, the usual Ready Steady Go producer, had everybody together and introduced his team, which was, Rollo Gamble, who was directing it, Michael Weald, who was doing the set design this time, and Malcolm Clare and his dancers, and especially Greta. Thank you, Oliver. You've been so helpful in putting this together. I honestly could not have done this without Oliver Turtle, my son and producer. Sam has been conspicuous by his absence, but I must ask you, Oliver, if you see him, don't forget to put the cat out. Over and out.